Hey church, my name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so glad you decided to be with us here at church this morning. Ava, what do we have coming up?
I only believe our desire for you is to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and to make a difference. And that is why we want to invite you to Growth Track, held on the first Sunday of each month. And this is where you will get to come, hear the vision and the history of Only Believe and the heart behind the church, and it gives you an opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. With lunch and childcare provided, all you have to do is come ready to grow and connect. To sign up, you can scan the QR code on the bottom of the screen, or you can head right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get all signed up there. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
Hey, Only Believe Church, I want to read a praise report to you, and exactly word for word, it says, we were facing being homeless with no money, no job, and no car. And in one day, we were blessed with a home where the landlord was willing to work with us on payments. My wife got a job, and the Lord blessed us with a car. All praise to Jesus alone. Church, I remind you today, He's never early, He's never late. God is always right on time. Be sure you ask, and you will receive.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is the heart behind the small group, Marriage Is Us. Marriage Is Us is a small group specifically designed for couples of all ages who are looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. This small group meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the loft. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Looking for a way to spend your Friday night? Well, we want to invite you to gather on July 17th at 6 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. It's a women's only event bringing women of all ages together for a sweet time of great food, real connection, and an encouraging message from Pastor Nicole. Let us know that you'll be there by scanning the QR code on the bottom of the screen or by heading right on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and getting signed up there. And we would like to let you all know that there will not be childcare for this event. So invite a friend and come gather with us.
Hey everyone, I'm excited to invite all of you to one of our favorite events of the entire year. That is Family Sunday in Aqua Grande. They will take place on Sunday, August the 2nd. During our 10 a.m. service, we'll have kids, youth, adults, all together for a message brought to you by Pastor Randy. They'll have something for everyone. We will follow that with kids' baptisms, free food and drinks, and some items for purchase. And then we get to the water fun, 20 acres. It'll be an amazing day. We're so excited to spend it together with you. We hope to see you there.
You're invited to our annual ice cream social on Wednesday, August 12th. After our 7 p.m. service, head outside behind the building for an evening of sweet treats and even sweeter fellowship. We'll have free ice cream and a variety of toppings for a sweet treat that everyone will love. So invite your friends and family and come join us for a fun-filled evening together. I'm not forsaken, ever alone. The God of heaven calls me His own. He's not just seated upon the throne. I know He's right here inside of my home. I've got a treasure here in my heart, and in my weakness it won't depart.
Miracles are happening because their priorities are right in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you. We're in the place together. I'm gonna stay on top of love. Stay with me through the fire. What do we have, Aaron?
Pastor Randy, this woman came tonight. She was in a car accident 2 years ago. Since that accident, she's had difficulty walking. She has pain in her leg every single day. Tonight, God has healed her. All pain is gone.
Hey, come on, somebody. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more pain. No more pain. Come on, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor Randy, this man came tonight. He had a boil, a growth on his leg for the last 3 weeks. When you prayed that prayer, instantly the boil disappeared.
Come on.
It is gone. He is healed.
Come on, man. Hallelujah. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Randy, this young girl is only 14 years of age. But she's had arthritis for the last 3 years throughout her entire body. She said pain throughout all of her joints. But tonight, Jesus has touched her. All pain is gone.
Come on, somebody. No more pain.
Yes.
It's all gone.
Yes.
You feel good.
Yes.
Wow, how does that feel?
Good.
Is it good that Jesus sees you and he touched you?
Yes.
You used your faith and he healed you?
Yes.
And he can do it for you too. He's not a respecter of persons. Yes. Go on, baby.
For the last 7 months, she's had swelling in her stomach and her abdomen.
Wow.
She didn't know what was going on, but it's been very painful. Yes. She said, tonight, when you prayed the prayer of faith, instantly the swelling left, she is healed.
Come on, Jesus. You feel good.
Yes.
Are you ready to go have some peace, love, and ice cream now?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracle. Hallelujah. Wow.
Pastor Randy, this woman came tonight. She said she's had a migraine headache for the last 24 hours. She hasn't slept at all last night. She came here in faith. Tonight, the pain is gone. She is healed.
All gone? All gone. So now what we were going to pray for you tonight. You know what we're going to pray for? A good night's sleep. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I thank you for giving her a sweet peace tonight. I thank you that that headache disappeared in Jesus' name. Now God, wrap her like a blanket tonight and give her a sweet sleep in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time. Because that's his nature. Wow. That's what they say over there, which is amazing. Well, hey, how many of you guys have enjoyed the 4th weekend? July 4th weekend? Yeah. You know, Ohio, for some reason, they're into the flags this year, which is fantastic. I love the American flag. So everywhere I look, there's flags flying everywhere. Praise God, our 250th anniversary. Woo, the freest country in the world still today. Yes, amen. We have our problems, but listen, when you go around the world, there is nothing like America. You'll come back here and kiss this ground. I'll tell you that. And I'm telling you from experience. Praise God. So thank God for all of our servicemen and women who sacrificed so we could be free. Amen. And thank God that Ohio finally passed fireworks after many, many years, right? Jeez. And now we can stay up all night for the next three nights because of it. Praise God. My dog's scared to death. It's ridiculous. All right. Well, today we're going to start a new series. It's the David series. And I'm going to open it up this morning by talking about David's hidden seasons. David's hidden seasons. And as we dive into these hidden seasons of David and look at how they relate to you and I today, I'm going to ask you some questions, more than one today. The first one I'm going to ask you is, I wonder how many of you have ever felt forgotten? How many have ever felt like God gave you a promise, but then somewhere it disappeared? It's just gone after you got the promise. Like everyone else gets promoted but you. How about God, you know he spoke something over to you. You know he gave you a prophecy. But then you go back to your everyday life and it just seems like nothing has happened. Nothing is changing. But you know you got spoken to and you know it really felt good in your spirit. It bore witness with your spirit, but then it's just nothing. I think all of us can say we've been there. And here's the deal. When it comes to David, yes, we celebrate him defeating Goliath. We celebrate David becoming king. We celebrate him writing the Psalms that we read about. But none of it came overnight. None of it did. David spent years of his life living in hidden seasons. Hidden seasons. And why is that? That is because before God ever reveals us or puts us in the public eye or ever allows us to be in the spotlight, if you will, he has to develop us. And that's exactly what he did to David. And if you're writing something down, John, you're here today, so Gerald's off. He don't have to. Write this down. And if you're not writing it down, write it down anyway. Because this is something you need to see, and it's up on the screen. The greatest work God will ever do for you probably will be when nobody is watching. When nobody is watching. The greatest work God does in our life. When nobody sees it, when nobody is around. And although Jesus was a very public figure, he believed in doing things in private as well. We see that all through the scripture verses as we read. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 6 verses 1, it says, Jesus says to take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds by men in public. Make sure it's not seen by men. Remember, there's another scripture verse that says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Because again, there will be your reward then. Letting everybody know what you did for somebody else. Don't do it, Jesus says. In Matthew 6, 5, he says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verse 6, but when you pray, notice it says, but when you pray, not if you pray. Okay, I'm gonna meddle just a little bit. But when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Matthew 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in, again, the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Nobody sees you praying at 5:30 in the morning. Only God. Nobody will ever see me praying at 5:30 in the morning. It'd be about 7. Hallelujah. That won't happen. Praise the Lord. Nobody sees the tears that you cry in your bedroom. Nobody sees the worship that you pray in your car on the way to work or when you're driving. Nobody sees you studying your Bible, just you and God together. Nobody sees you fasting, on your knees praying, asking for forgiveness, but you and God. Nobody sees those things. And you know, marriage, when I think about it, it's the same way. Listen, your marriage isn't built on those anniversary celebrations that you throw all over Facebook. No, it's not. Marriage is built on the thousands of hours between the two of you, getting to know each other, the ups and the downs, the fights and the makeup times. Woo! That's what makes a marriage, not what you throw out on Facebook. Amen? I have had people say, you know what? Your kids are amazing. I have three kids, for those that don't know. I have an eeny, meeny, a miny, and no mo. All right? After the third one, Nicole said, it's over. We're done. And people say, man, your kids grew up great. They're fantastic. They're 27, 24, and 21 now. And I say, oh, yeah? Well, you didn't see the private moments. Yeah, you didn't see all those spankings that took place. Oh, you spanked your kids? Yes, we did, and they lived. You even said they turned out great. You know? You didn't see the fighting. You didn't see the yelling and screaming at each other. You didn't see the private cryings. You didn't see the bedtime devotionals for years. The getting ready to leave their bedroom. Hey, Dad, I got a question. Oh, shut the door. Yes. And sit there for an hour and just talk. You didn't see those private times that made it look like, wow, you get to see, they look fantastic. Privately, it was a whole different story at times. You know, you look at the band that's up here today. So many people, man, you guys have a fantastic band. It's a volunteer band. It's been a volunteer band from day one. They sound great, yeah, but again, it's the private practices that you don't get to hear. It's Don Smithy, wherever he is, messing up on that guitar over and over again. Oh, wherever he is. Hallelujah. It's the play it again, Sam, 30 times. You know, it's all those rehearsals, the Thursday nights, skipping dinner, skipping family, so we can be as excellent as we can be to usher in the presence of God every week in this place. We don't see those times. Think about Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, that's a great scripture verse, but when? When did he do all that? I'll tell you when. In the 30 years that he was silent in private. He only had 3.5 years of public ministry. All those other times, he spent so many seasons of preparing and preparation. Way more, of course, than his public ministry. And now if Jesus spent 30 years preparing for 3.5 years of public ministry, here it comes. What you in a hurry for? Yeah. Safety team, I might need you up here today. I don't know. Just let you know. Be ready. Be ready. So, in case the tomatoes start flying. Yeah. Listen, I was prophesied that I would go to the nations, and that prophecy took 29 years to come to pass. And I've told you guys that. In the past. 29 years for that to come to pass. I mean, Abraham and Sarah had a baby before I got to go to the nations. It only took them 25 years. It took me 29 years for that prophecy to come to pass. And here's the well, let me read this verse. 1 Samuel 16:1. It says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among the sons. It took me 29 years for my prophecies to come to pass. You're going to see it took David a long time for what God told him to come to pass in his life as well. David's hidden season, number one, was his calling. It was his calling. Samuel arrives and Jesse lines up 7 of his sons in front of Samuel. Most of you know the story. And it says, God rejects all of them. And then Samuel asks, is this all your sons? We find that, of course, in 1 Samuel 16:11. And I want to show you something that maybe you have not seen before. I saw it for this time and was like, whoa. It says, and Samuel said to Jesse, are there any young men here? Or all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. And look what those three words say. There he is. What? I never caught that before in all the years. And there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him. David's own father sees his son among the seven, but doesn't bring him in to be part of the other siblings. Thanks, Dad. That'd make you feel good, wouldn't it? He's right there. Yeah, there he is. I seen him. He didn't recognize him as part of the siblings. That's pretty sad. And then, of course, we see Samuel, who doesn't know he even exists as well. God didn't show him that. But there he was. And in 1 Samuel 16:12, it says, so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said to him, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. God was now with him from that day forward. And although David was good looking, he was ruddy. That means, I guess, he was a little red when I looked that up, for whatever reason that means. And he wasn't kingly looking. David wasn't looking for somebody to be kingly. Remember, he looks at the heart. And when he saw David's heart, what did he see in David? He saw worship. He saw worship in David. What do you think he was doing out there with those sheep all day and all night? We might have some volume, maybe we don't. David had a heart of worship. He's out there worshiping God with those animals, and God's seen it. He had the right heart, and that's why God picked him. And in that season, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. But what happened after that? When he came in, got anointed in front of his brothers, and of course his brothers were mad, you can guarantee that. What happened to David after that? Nothing. Nothing happened. David went right back out in that field, a little oily, of course, picking up sheep poop, sleeping under the stars. I say sheep poop because my 18-month-old granddaughter is into the word poop right now. So everything's pooped, you know. The dog pooped. The kitty cat pooped. If I'd be back in the children's church with your kids, I would have all the kids say poop. And they would all be laughing hysterically for about 10 minutes. It's all part of children's ministry. Ask Pastor Jared, right? Amen. So that's for you, Lacey. Pooped. But he went back out and done what he always has done. The same thing over and over and over. He had a private anointing, but it didn't automatically change his assignment. And that's the point. His public appointing came way later than the private anointing. And again, as I stated in the beginning, maybe God has given you a promise for your marriage, but you're still sleeping in two different bedrooms. Maybe God has promised restoration. You haven't seen it yet. A healing that you've prayed for and thanked God for, but it just hasn't come. The breakthrough hasn't happened yet. No matter what it looks like, don't mistake absence of visible progress for the absence of God at work in your life, because he's still at work in your life. Amen. Come on, he's there with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He hears our prayers the very first time. We cannot give up that. We continue to walk by what? And not by what? Exactly. Amen. Praise God. God said David would be king before anyone treated him like a king. He walked by faith, and of course, so do we. And do you believe that today? Yeah. Amen. I believe that too. His next hidden season was preparation. Preparation. This involves changing David's identity. His identity. How many times has God changed your identity before he ever changes your address? Yeah, exactly. Like I said, you got the prophecy, the promise, the calling, the dream, but then you're right back to the ordinary like David was. He went back to the pasture. The palace address wasn't coming anytime soon for him. That's for sure. Now, I must have needed some professional Holy Ghost counseling for it to take 29 years for my prophecy to come to pass. God must have had to do a lot of work, and he did. But it wasn't wasted delay. Again, it's preparation. Preparation is what it is. Don't despise the ordinary because God is working no matter what we see. Think about what happened next in David's life. That pasture became his classroom. It became his classroom, his training ground. David learned to be faithful out there in the preparation time. His character was being defined out there in that pasture. He had to deal with battles out there, real battles, physical battles out there. And the ordinary is where God prepares us for the extraordinary. It's out there where nobody can see anything, where we really think we're alone. And sometimes we feel that God isn't there. 1 Samuel 17:34, David tells King Saul that while keeping his father's sheep, when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, when they arose against him, he caught it by its beard and he killed it. He killed both the lion and the bear. No one saw him kill the lion. No one saw him kill the bear. He didn't get an Instagram photo. Here I am with the bear and the lion. Nobody saw anything. He got no applause. He had to tell the king this is what happened because nobody saw it. Who knows if they believed him or not? But God allowed all that to happen for his preparation. Preparation. And here's the thing, the lion prepared him for the bear. And then the bear prepared him for Goliath. Hallelujah. His private victories produced the confidence that he needed by the time he faced Goliath. He didn't need any confidence when he faced Goliath. He brought the confidence with him. Hello, his confidence was in the one who saved him from the bear, the paw of the bear, and the paw of the lion. His ultimate confidence was in God, hallelujah, who came through for him every single time. That's how he went out on that battlefield. All the private times, all of the preparation times, all for Goliath. Hallelujah. Hope somebody's happy in here. Thank God, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, I know somebody in here is facing those battles nobody knows about. I'm sure of it. It could be your marriage, depression, addiction, finances, loneliness, fear, whatever you're going through. Just know that God is not punishing you. He is with you. I don't know why I'm saying it over and over again. Some of you need to hear that. He is not punishing you. He is for you. Your greatest testimony just might be the battle that you win that nobody knows about. And there's nothing wrong with it. Yes, we're here. Yes, you put your prayer cards down. Yes, we pray over things. Yes, we fast for you. But God helps you and he's here for you. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, no matter how many years it's been, he is for you. Somebody say something. Amen. Amen. All right. David's next hidden season might be the hardest, and it was definitely the longest, and that is the wilderness season. That even sounds bad. The wilderness season. Between 10 and 15 years would pass from when David first got anointed until he became king of Judah. And that's just part of Israel, not all of Israel. 10 to 15 years after he was anointed, did this happen? And at this point in his life, Saul hates him, people betray him, and he's living in caves. He probably thought, man, I wish Samuel would have never showed up to my house. That's what I would have thought. I'll tell you that. Jeez. He was at the cave of Adullam, the Bible says. David fled here after leaving Gath. His family joined him along with about 400 men who were distressed. They were the beginning of David's band of loyal followers. As we continue to read, he was in the wilderness of En Gedi. This is where Saul came in the cave to use the restroom. I talked about this many months ago. And where David and all of his men were hiding. David secretly cut off that corner of Saul's robe instead of killing him. He was saying that he would not kill the Lord's anointed no matter what the soldiers had said. In the wilderness of Ziph, David hid among the hills in the wilderness and in the mountains. This is where the Ziphites informed Saul where David was. And in 1 Samuel chapter 26, David entered the camp at night and took the spear, Saul's spear, and water jug from him and still did not kill him. Overall, Saul tried to kill David in one way or another about 8 to 10 times. And David still didn't kill him. I mean, how many times? If your neighbor was trying to kill you, Mr. Hewitt, would you not finally say, I've had enough? And while he was asleep, say, I'm ending this, bro. You know, David wouldn't do it. He didn't do it. In that time period of David being a cave dweller, it says in 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, and this puts it all together. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all of his father's house heard it, they went down there with him. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Sound like a church split, which we have never had and never will have. Amen. Amen. So he became a captain over all of them. And there were about 400 with him, is what the Bible says. So David becomes a leader before he becomes a king in the wilderness. Okay? You might even say David had a church before he had a kingdom. A church of some crazy people too, apparently. And he had the opportunity to kill Saul 2 times, but he doesn't do it. Even when the men said, this is God, he has delivered him into your hands. Do this, David. What are you waiting on? Are you crazy? We're tired of running. We're tired of living in caves. Didn't God tell you you were going to be king? Let's go. Can imagine the pressure that he faced and still didn't do it. Why? This is why. Anyone can take a throne. Anyone can take a position. But very few people can wait for the position. Wait for a corner office. Or wait, of course, for a throne. You know, I forget the movies. Who was the, the guy that would go in and take money from the rich and give it to the poor? Robin Hood. I mean, you know, if any of you saw those movies, I love Robin Hood movies, of course. And, you know, the guy, he was supposed to be king, and he tried to give his word, and then he went back on his word, and he tried to kill all of them. Anybody can do all that. But it takes character what David did. And he learned that in the preparation. He learned that in the wilderness. And as much as I hate to say it, waiting isn't bad. Waiting is not punishment. Why did I have to wait 29 years? I bring it up one more time. It must have really affected me. Well, number one, I wasn't even in ministry when I got that prophecy. And then, of course, when Pastor asked me to be the children's pastor, I had no clue that I even had a gifting to be a children's pastor, let alone any type of apostolic ministry or global ministry. Had no clue. And this is, thinking about all this, I think sometimes character has to catch up with our giftings. Catch up to our giftings. I think it has to happen. And waiting really is to protect us from ourselves. It's God protecting us. Because if he just put us out there, we'd fail instantly. Nicole and I spent years under the radar. She didn't want to be in any type of public anything. We used to call her Ice Woman many, many, many years ago. Didn't, I mean, how many remember that way back? She was Ice Woman. Wouldn't talk to nobody, Mary. I mean, just mean, man, mean. Even married to me, she was still mean. It was crazy, you know? But then God put her right in the public eye of the worship leader. Wow. Amazing. Someplace she didn't want to be and was there for many, many years in training, you could say. And then, of course, I didn't even want to be in ministry. I turned down pastor many times. And yet, he put me with your kids for 18 years. 18 years. Dear God in heaven, you guys are the reason I need hair transplant treatments. You should be paying for this. I'm not having any, by the way, but I want some. I need something. But it's your fault. 18 years of children's church. Hallelujah. And before all of that, though, Pastor Dosick and Pastor Phyllis, they gave us that private anointing in their home, as you see in the pictures. Some of the staff were there. They witnessed it, just like David's sons all witnessed his private anointing. And so, although the wilderness season was the longest hidden season in David's life, it really was the most powerful part of his life. And I say it's the most powerful part of your life as well, even though we don't see it. The wilderness is where God strips away dependency on everything else and everyone else but him. You get nobody's approval when you're in that mode. All we need is God's approval anyway, right? Everything is stripped away from us when we are in the wilderness. It's God's plan. It's part of his plan for us. It's not a detour. Now, I'm not sure what wilderness you're in right now. It looks different for all of us. But I think it might feel the same, lonely and uncertain, as it did for David. David probably said, God, you anointed me to be king. Why am I sleeping in caves? I don't understand. In these times, we learn to trust. We learn restraint. A Christian cuss word, we learn patience. That's a tough one. We learn commitment. We learn a lot of things in this time of being in the wilderness spiritually. Moses had to deal with the wilderness for 40 years. Thank God. I didn't have to wait that long. 40 years, obeyed every time except once, and missed the promised land because of it. But God was faithful and showed it to him. And he died without his eyes becoming dim. That was beautiful, beautiful. Joseph's wilderness was in prison and slavery. He was innocent, didn't do a thing. And Jesus was privately escorted to the wilderness for 40 days and nights by the Holy Spirit before he began his public ministry. In these desert wilderness times, doesn't your prayer life get stronger? It should. Doesn't your devotion to God become stronger as well? Doesn't our prayer life improve, become deeper? Our worship mean a little bit more in these times? It should. We seek him more. We want more of him. And I think we get to hear more of him in these times because we're quiet. We're not so busy. We're focused in these times. And he speaks to us in these times. Your faith should become stronger. And your identity should become more rooted in God instead of people and their approval in these times. And I hope that at the end of it, you come out wiser, stronger, have a deeper relationship with Jesus than you ever did before. Because ultimately, yes, God wants us to use our giftings and our talents and whatever he's called us to do. But more than that, he wants our relationship with him to be stronger. That's why he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. That's why he talks to us, because he wants relationship. That's why Jesus talked to his Father all the time. Relationship. He wants that more than anything, a relationship. The anointing identified David's calling, but the wilderness produced the kind of person who could carry that calling out without destroying him. Let me say it this way. Being anointed made David the future king, but the wilderness shaped his character so he could fulfill kingship. Are you picking up what I'm laying down today? Amen? That's what it does, and it's what it'll do for you too. In the same way, the wilderness seasons we go through help shape us into the people that God has prepared us to be, no matter what it is. And then the last season that I want to talk about was David's hidden season of success. His hidden season of success. You know, after the death of Saul and his son Jonathan, it says in 2 Samuel 2:4, then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Here's the deal. Hidden seasons do not stop just because you become successful as king. No, there's so many more hidden seasons, even when you're in success. They don't stop. There are hidden tests in success. And when it came to David, unfortunately, he failed one test that changed his family dynamic forever. In the spring, when kings go to war, David stayed home. He wasn't where he belonged. He got comfortable and he became idle. And that's when the devil struck, and of course Bathsheba came into the picture. With Bathsheba came the lies, came Uriah, came Bathsheba's, which was Bathsheba's husband, who got murdered. And the lesson is this, and I do this. Who was here for Dr. Sam on Sunday morning and Sunday night? He's so funny. We'll talk back and forth, and we'll do some little raps and things like that. And so I made up one for Dr. Sam if he's watching. This is the lesson with David. When you're in the wrong season, you'll be self-pleasing. Before long, you'll be sleazing. And send a husband to the legion and have him killed for no wrong reason. What David did was worse than treason. That's for you, Dr. Sam, California. Right? Amen. Yeah. You see, sometimes success can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. But what did David do again? God knew his heart. He ran back to God. Back to God and not away from him. That was the heart of David. That's why God loved David. And we see David's heart. Thank God we get to see some of this stuff. We see David's heart, his true heart, in Psalms 51, chapter 1 and 2. 51, verse 1 and 2, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. That was David's heart. Hallelujah. Is that your heart today? I hope it is. God restored him because he had a repentant heart, not because he was perfect in any way. So here's David's timeline in the hidden seasons. It goes like this. At age 15 to 17, David was anointed by Samuel and then returns to the sheep. He kills a lion and a bear out there. Age 16 to 18, he kills Goliath and serves King Saul. At between 16 and 18, it's pretty good. He really showed everybody he knew how to get ahead. Amen. That's an old joke many years ago. It's way old. For the new guys, they may not have heard that. Okay. Then he runs from Saul and he lives in caves and in the wilderness. And at age 20 to 30, he had 10 years of more hiding, more running. 2 Samuel 5:4, it says that at age 30, he became king of Judah. That's a long time of preparation before anything came in his life. At age 37, he becomes king over all of Israel. But God was with him every step, every moment. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him at the anointing, never left him, was there through it all. Around 50, unfortunately, he had a midlife crisis. And instead of purchasing a Chariot motorcycle, he was watching somebody on the top of a building take a bath. Isn't that weird? She was taking a bath. Her name's Bathsheba. I don't know. That's so strange. Yeah, that's the way my brain thinks. I'm sorry. Okay. And then, of course, he sleeps with her and she gets pregnant. Then, of course, when he was super old, he gives his final instructions to his son, Solomon. That's David. That's the hidden seasons in David's life, in a nutshell. And so, as we close today, remember that every hidden season that you're going through produces something. It can produce something bad or it can produce something good. It depends on what you do in that season. If David would have killed Saul in that hidden season, what would have happened? We don't know. Thank God it didn't happen. If somewhere in that 20 years of running and hiding, he says, "Forget this. This is not what you promised me," God would have picked somebody else. But he didn't. Thank God he didn't. David worshiped in that field. Killing the lion and the bear gave him confidence and courage in that training ground, that classroom. He also was in the palace under Saul for a while. Hello, that taught him service, right? Jesus came down to what? Serve and not be served. The caves in the wilderness produced character and restraint. If he could have, put it this way, if he couldn't have controlled himself in the wilderness, he'd have never controlled himself in the palace. And even with all that, he still messed up. Think of what would happen if he hadn't had all that. As king, he would have to judge thousands of people. God taught him mercy out in that wilderness. Mercy. And gave him a band of crazy men to be over. And being king revealed whether that character could withstand his success. That throne would test everything he had learned all those years before. So in closing, what do you do when life isn't fair? Remember, David had done nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. He didn't ask for any of this. And yet he was lied about, hunted for years, misunderstood, betrayed, forced from his home, living in caves. David learned also not to become bitter. Not to become bitter. And so this is for you. Don't let someone else's sin become your excuse for your own sin. Don't do it. It ain't worth it. It's not worth it. David refused revenge. He said, "I'm leaving this to God. I will not hurt God's anointed. I will not kill or touch God's anointed. I'm leaving this in God's hands." God fought the battles for him. God took care of Saul how he wanted to take care of Saul. David just continued to do what he was supposed to do in the hidden seasons. And then that's what we have to do in our hidden seasons, no matter where we are in them. People will celebrate our public victories, but more importantly, God celebrates our private faithfulness as he did David's. Our private faithfulness. And I know that God is using your hidden seasons to conform you to be more like Jesus every day. That's the most important thing that he does. And he's somehow preparing you for whatever he's called you to do today. So, whether you're leading a company, whether you're faithfully raising children, serving quietly in the church, or I hate to say this, but maybe somehow you're suffering and enduring with great faith. Boy, look at the Church of Revelation, how they had to endure with their great faith. Maybe that's you. We continue to do it. We continue to be faithful. And I believe that almost all of us could raise our hand today if I ask the question, who's here waiting? I think all of us probably would raise our hand. Who here is waiting on something that hasn't happened yet? Raise our hands. Who here feels forgotten? Who here is fighting a private battle? Who here has failed and wonders if God can still use me again? Who here has been hurt unfairly, unjustly? David had all those. David faced all those things, and he constantly ran back to God. So, right where you are today, I'm not going to ask you to say, I'm going to ask you to do something different. And this hit me when I was in my office at home. I'm like, what? Okay. It's crazy. I'll do this. We're talking about kings. And whenever you went in front of a king, what were you to do? You either bowed, you either knelt before him, or you felt prostrate as submission and obedience to God or to the king. Well, Jesus is here. He's the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And one day every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. So what I want us to do today is practice that a little bit. I want us to just get down on one knee, or you can turn around in your pew if you can, or you can sit right there where you are. You can fall prostrate before the Lord. You can kneel, whatever it is. The band's going to sing a song, and I want you to talk to God, talk to Jesus, the King of Kings, about where you are in your private place, your private season. Maybe you haven't talked to him in a while about something that's been on your mind. Maybe you don't understand something that you're going through and there's just been no result yet. Talk to him about that today. The lights are being lowered. The band's going to play. This moment, one song only, is between you and God and where you are with him in your relationship. Feel free to do that right now.
My Savior.
Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, God, that you're opening up people, Lord Jesus. That God, the prophecy that came forth today, God, I thank you that people are being honest and open. And God, those dark places that are in their life, you're shining light to those places in Jesus' name. Right now, I thank you for it, Lord God. Revealing yourself to people, talking to them in the name of Jesus. Healing, Father, brokenness in Jesus' name. Confirming things, Lord God, in their hearts in Jesus' name. God, as they're falling prostrate before you and open before you today, sincere before you today, we thank you for that today. And if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that don't know Jesus and want him in your life today, please come down and I want to pray with you. A simple prayer of repentance. And the Bible says that when you confess, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If that's you today and say, hey, I want that, Pastor Randy, then come on down. I want to pray with you today. The Bible says you will be born again, a new creation. Old things will be passed away. All things will become new at that point in time. Hallelujah. And you'll be part of this amazing family who will be here for you and help you. If that's you, come down. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Jesus hung on that tree absolutely naked for you. A sinless man. A sinless man. Anybody here at all? Anybody at all? Finish this song out and we'll be done today. Come on, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm waiting. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I curse sickness in people's bodies right now in the name of Jesus. Anybody that is sick, put your hand wherever you're hurting, pain, whatever it is. You got a lump somewhere, put your hand on it. Hallelujah. Jesus is here to heal, set free, and deliver. Father, in Jesus' name, I curse this sickness wherever it is in their bodies. I rebuke it and I command it to come off of them right now. Any cancer, you die in Jesus' name from the very root. Go and come out of them now in Jesus' name. I thank you, eyes be healed in Jesus' name. Open ears, open, ringing, cease in Jesus' name right now. Pop in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father. Healing come to bones, back pain in Jesus' name. Go right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. The powerful name of Jesus, blood diseases disappear right now in the name of Jesus. Go. I thank you, Father. Pure blood, oxygen getting to where it needs to go. Feet problems, circulation problems, go in the name of Jesus right now. I thank you for it, Father. Full circulation in feet, Lord God. For some reason, somebody has some feet issues. I thank you. Circulation is coming back to those feet right now in the name of Jesus. Arthritis, sugar, diabetes. That name is below the name of Jesus, and you must go in the name of Jesus. Disappear, dissipate right now. I thank you, Father, for it. I thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Angels in this place. Healing in this place. Miracles, signs, and wonders in this place. Right now. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Father. Hurt, Lord Jesus, right now. Mental hurt, God. Mental issues, go in the name of Jesus. I thank you for sound minds in this house today, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Spirit of suicide, go in Jesus' name. You have no right to be in their minds in the name of Jesus. Clear thoughts, clarity, come now to their minds in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Those that don't feel loved today, God, I thank you for wrapping them in a blanket of security and in the blanket of your love today, right now, in the powerful name of Jesus. I give you praise for these things. Give him praise for your healing right now. Give him thanks for your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Just thank him for a second. God, we thank you. Hallelujah. We walk by faith. We live by faith. By faith we are healed. We have been set free and delivered from our infirmities right now in the name of Jesus. It's done. How we thank you for that healing. We thank you for the manifestation of it. In Jesus' name, you get all the glory for it this morning. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Those Africans would be shouting this morning right now, God. They'd be shouting and thanking God. They'd be running and thanking God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus, for it all right now, God. Hallelujah. We lift our voices with a shout of praise in Jesus' name. And thank you, only you, the one true living God. Hallelujah. Who helps us, who's here for us, who never leaves us or forsakes us today. In the name of Jesus, it's you and only you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory. Glory, glory to your name. Hallelujah. 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 That's why I trust in you. Now, Father, thank you for this congregation. I thank you for your people. God, I thank you for this week, that it will be a good week, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you that it will be a week of promotions for some people. God, I thank you that it will be a week of health and healing, Lord God, that they haven't had for a long time. A week of prosperity for others, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you for a week of blessing for everyone in this house, for their families. God, I thank you that they will be the light to their communities, a light to the world, that they change somebody's life or sow a seed in somebody's life this week, Lord God, as we witness for you. I thank you because we are a praying church, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise today for it all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And remember, those of you who want to become members, right now, you'll head to the north corner, 30306. If you have children, there's food for them and babysitting for them in the children's church. So those of you who are that, please do that today. We love you guys. Thank you so much and have a fantastic week. We'll see you Wednesday night. Thank you, Jesus.